This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut schools show improvement in math and science scores. Officials express concern over AI companies buying up books. September is National Recovery Month. Plus, a piece of art in Connecticut is so big, you just have to see it in person. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Connecticut students continued to improve their math and science scores last school year. WSHU's Molly Ingram reports on the latest assessment and attendance statistics from the state's schools.
Statewide assessment results show that Connecticut students improved in math and science for the fourth year in a row, and English language arts scores trended upward, too. Ajit Gopalakrishnan is the chief performance officer for the State Department of Education.
We track performance of every student group. So that includes race, ethnicity, that includes English learners, multilingual learners, it includes students with disabilities, it includes students from low-income families. You track across student groups. We're seeing improvements across almost all of those student groups.
Chronic absenteeism is also on the decline, from nearly 24% in 2021 to 16% last school year. Molly Ingram, WSHU News.
AI companies are buying rare books to steal their contents, then pulping them. That's according to widespread reports in recent months. U.S. Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut says they have to stop. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
It's become a growing concern among book lovers and those who worry about the destructive practices of the AI industry. Add Murphy to their ranks.
The AI companies are literally buying up millions of books, often buying up the only copy or the only handful of copies of human-created books, feeding them into their model, and then destroying the books so that no one can ever see the evidence of how they trained the model.
Murphy specifically called out Anthropic, whose Project Panama was meant to be secret until it was disclosed in a court case earlier this year. According to court documents, they turned to scanning and destroying books after refusing to secure copyright permission, then facing a $1.5 billion settlement when they pirated the books instead. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Suffolk County officials are promoting efforts against substance addiction during September, which is National Recovery Month. Suffolk County Executive Ed Romaine and lawmakers gathered Friday to raise awareness about people struggling with addiction. Sharon Richmond is a victim's advocate, and she says it's important to find a path to recovery.
My hope is that Recovery Month becomes more than one event or more than one month. I hope that it strengthens our relationships and creates better pathways to help, and that it builds a community where people know where to turn.
A committee will allocate funding to not-for-profit organizations that treat addiction and bolster infrastructure. The money comes from a settlement with opioid makers. Artist Rick Schaefer's work is big. So big, you have to see it in person to get the full effect. That story is coming up.
On your commute, on your walk, on your couch. With the WSHU app, you can stream your favorite shows, check playlists, and catch up on podcasts anytime. Plus, you can send us feedback right in the app. Tell us what you love or what you'd like more of. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents arrested nearly 100 people in Connecticut last week, mostly in Danbury. According to the group, Danbury Unites for Immigrants. Other arrests occurred in communities located near the New York border, like Stamford and Bridgeport. Long Island has emerged from drought conditions thanks to heavy rain over the past 2 months. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says most of the island is now what it considers abnormally dry. Earlier this summer, the island was either in moderate or severe drought conditions. Monarchs are on the move. Millions of these butterflies are traveling south for the fall, and September is when their migration will peak in our region, so you may have already started noticing more. Their numbers have rebounded in recent years, but remain much lower than historic levels. According to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, you can make your yard more monarch-friendly by planting their favorite, milkweed. This is WSHU's Birdsong Break, and no, this sound does not belong to a pterodactyl. This week, it's the black-crowned night heron. This stocky wading bird calls our region home year-round. You can spot them in wetland areas around dawn and dusk when they're most active. Take a breath, listen, and let nature remind you to slow down. This has been WSHU's Bird Song Break, featuring the black-crowned night heron. Special thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, and visit WSHU.org for more. Artist Rick Schaefer's work is big, so big that you have to see it in person to get the full effect. WSHU's Ava Keough did just that, and you can too, at an exhibit at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Connecticut.
Imagine a wall hundreds of feet tall stretching from sea to shining sea. You sit and stare. The massive art pieces double your size. The artist Rick Schaefer urges you to take a better look.
These up close, it's fun. You go up close and look at them, and there's all this squiggle and marks and little dots and lines, and it almost can look abstract in sections, and then you back off and it coalesces.
You first wonder, are these walls meant to keep the people in or out? And then you realize, are those dinosaurs, helicopters, Walt Disney, an ode to Star Wars and Emma Lazarus?
Well, there's a bit of whimsy in all these.
MoCA showcases artists in an exhibit called Looking for History. Each artist asks the same question, what is America building and who exactly is it for? Schaefer anchors the exhibition with a series called Colossi. His massive charcoal drawings not only tie in history, but bring a surrealism aspect as well. Schaefer's first piece in his series, The New Colossus, started off as a vision in 2018 when there was talk about putting up a southern border wall.
I had this complete vision, which doesn't happen very often, for this first piece. So there's this is an odd one. There's angels, curtains, there's helicopters flying around.
At the foreground of the piece, there's a group of businessmen and bankers overlooking a huge wall which was inspired by the controversial Three Gorges Dam in China.
And in the middle of this group is Walt Disney, yeah. And there's a bunch of strange, it's a group of recognizable and non-recognizable people. Mm-hmm. So the whole series kind of takes up that vein of throwing historical bits in that are not chronological, don't mean anything, but they're meant to be disjunctive in a way and show that man's been doing this from prehistory.
Schaefer also included Emma Lazarus among this group of men. She's known for her famous poem, which is on the Statue of Liberty, welcoming immigrants from all over. The title of Schaefer's first piece is paradoxically taken from Lazarus's poem.
She's in the back of this crowd of men, all in suits, bankers and dignitaries, peering at us kind of accusingly. And this is the opposite, a parody on her welcoming gesture that she laid out in her sonnet.
Schaefer pulls from tons of movies and other artists that he says are fun to pick out and digest as you look at his art.
They're not a quick read. They're kind of one of these things where they're like a novel or a big meal. They're kind of, you know, you kind of have to sit down and be with them for a while.
Schaefer says he loves what scale gives him when it comes to making fast, fluid lines. Creating larger scale art pieces allows one to not be as fine-tuned, he says. MoCA executive director Robin Jaffe Frank says that Schaefer's work makes you think. Are Americans living up to our founding ideals?
We went to Rick Schaefer's studio and we selected works along in consultation with the artists. The entire series of The New Colossi, as well as works from his refugee series, which of course are terribly important right now when increased migration has become an issue in the United States and all around the world.
Frank says that Schaefer breathes new life into historical works while also highlighting challenges unique to the 21st century.
But frankly, to some degree, challenges that human beings have always faced. about that conflict between walling in and walling out and asking, who are we building walls for? Who are we protecting? Who are we allowing in? These are timeless human questions.
Frank thinks Schaeffer's work seduces people and leaves them spellbound so they can think critically about what they're seeing.
Well, one of the things that you see when people come in is a lot of them stand there for a moment and go, oh, wow, you know, so surprised by the scale of Rick's work and its atmospheric quality. And as they move closer, they often seem to be transfixed, carried along by his seductive use and the fluidity of his line, and lost in it. And they get drawn in even by those mammoth walls that pull you into his landscape.
Running through mid-November, visitors have the opportunity to not only see Schaeffer's work, but two other artists as well. Ava Keough, WSHU News.
For the latest from around Long Island Sound, listen on the radio, online, with our free app, and tune in right here to the After All Things podcast every weekday evening. And if you're not following us on Instagram, you are missing out. We have more on the music, the latest news, and some fun behind the scenes. We're at WSHU Public Radio. Give us a follow there. Drop us a comment. That really helps us out. I'm Sabrina Garone. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.